Let us at this time open our Bibles to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4. We will read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The text for this special Thanksgiving service is taken from this chapter of Genesis 4, the verses 3. To 5a. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. What places, boys and girls, can you think of to give thanks to the Lord? Maybe someone says, well, you can pray and you can give thanks to the Lord in your bedroom or at church or at school or in the field, in the barn or at work. There are many places in which we may give thanks to the Lord. The Bible only knows really of several places where we give thanks. I mean, there was thanksgiving in the Garden of Eden. When Adam received a wife from the Lord, he broke out in song to the Lord. But after the fall, thanksgiving is outside of paradise. It's true, there have been many places outside of paradise where there has been thanksgiving. The people of Israel broke out in song when they have been delivered by the mighty hand of God, brought to the other side of the Red Sea. But it's outside of paradise still. And every time again, thanksgiving is outside of paradise. And here we see the first time. But you can write over this sermon, the first thanksgiving outside of paradise. The first thanksgiving outside of paradise. We'll hear four things. First of all, an explanation. Secondly, the expenses. Thirdly, eyes. And fourthly, the end. The first thanksgiving outside of paradise. First of all, an explanation for thanksgiving. Secondly, the expenses in thanksgiving. Thirdly, the eyes in thanksgiving. And fourthly, the end of this first thanksgiving. This morning, dear congregation, we are invited to come to the fields outside of paradise. Are you coming, boys and girls? For we are going to meet there two men, Cain and Abel. Look. They're building something. What is it? An altar. Look, they're carrying rocks and they're piling them on top of each other. And that's how they're making an altar. Now what are they doing? Well, they're putting wood on top of the altar, dead branches that will burn well. And then they put something else on top. Cain comes with his arms full of the fruit of the field. And Abel comes too with something. He comes with a lamb from the flock. They want to bring thanksgiving, an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. After all, the Lord has given them so much. And each of them stand there by their altar. Today, you would say they came to church for Thanksgiving Day. Just like you do, young people and boys and girls. The Lord has been good. And it's all undeserved. And do we not have reason to thank the Lord also for this past year? Boys and girls, did you ever have an empty lunch bag that you took along to school? Because the cupboards were just empty this past year in your home. And did you ever come home at the end of the day and your mother said, well, there will be no supper tonight because we have no food? There is reason for thanksgiving even outside of paradise if we only count our blessings. And name them one by one. But tell me, what should we give to the Lord on Thanksgiving Day? Should we give Him our gifts? Or should we give Him our hearts? Both, actually, don't you think? He deserves everything. Well, the two men that we meet this morning are the first two boys that were born in this world. Born outside of paradise in a world just like today with thorns and thistles and a world where we have to work hard with so much misery and sorrow, with sweat and difficulty. But there is also joy in this world, for Adam and Eve did receive two boys from the Lord. First Cain, and how thankful they were that they received a child from the Lord. And Eve realizes that he is a gift from the Lord. The Lord had promised in Genesis 3 that one day a son will be born who would be the promised deliverer, who would deliver from sin. God would give him. And that's why Eve takes him into her arms and calls him Cain. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And how thankful she is. And how thankful we can be when a child is born. And fathers and mothers need to pray God, the giver of this child, also for grace to raise them in the fear of the Lord. For it's no small thing. But sometime later, another boy is born. They name him Breath. In the Hebrew, Abel. Something that comes and goes. A breath. Maybe Abel was smaller and weaker when he was born than Cain. Or maybe the sweat, tears, and disappointments that Adam and Eve had experienced made them feel, in the words of Romans 8, verse 20, that the creature was made subject to vanity. How trying life had become. But it is true, boys and girls, our life is like a breath. In the words of James 4, verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. Or in the words of Psalm 90, verse 10, it is soon cut off and we fly away. Maybe that's what we need to remember too on this Thanksgiving Day. To remember life is short. It can soon be over. It can be soon cut off. You may not even realize it, that for you, it may be this week. Treat it with care. And seek for something that will last. Seek for an inheritance. That 1 Peter speaks about an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Now these boys grew up. And they chose their line of work. Maybe they heard the question, boys and girls, that you've heard before too. That question, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? Cain said, I want to be a farmer. Abel said, I want to be a shepherd. They wanted to do something that they liked to do, and that is nice. And working is good. But working is also hard because we live outside of paradise. But Cain and Abel went to work. Cain went to work as a farmer and Abel as a shepherd. But the Lord blesses their work. Cain worked and prepared his fields and planted the fields. And the Lord gave an harvest and he gave fruit. And Abel worked with the sheep, and the Lord gave lambs to be born. There was fruit, there was lambs because of the faithfulness of the Lord. And that's why we see Cain and Abel bringing an offering to the Lord. They have seen their father do that. And father and mother, Adam and Eve, have told them about the Lord who gives all things. Who still gives in spite of our sin and in spite of all our sinfulness. And that's too true for us too, isn't it, boys and girls? That's the reason why we have food on our table. That's why we have clothes. And your mother could buy them at the store, maybe. Not everyone has so many clothes as you do. Not everyone has so many nice meals as you do. In many places, they don't have enough food to eat. And in other places there is war, and boys and girls grow up without a father because father's been killed in war. And there's famine. Thanksgiving Day means you bring an offering to the Lord because of how good He has been and how small you become. And that is something. All the things that the Lord has given us, boys and girls, He's given you parents, a school, a church, and hopefully parents, school, and church tell you the same thing about God, who He is, and that there is nothing better than serving the Lord. And hopefully you have parents, children, who bring you to the altar. To the family altar. And they do it on a day like today. And parents ask you, hopefully, boys and girls, what are you going to give on Thanksgiving Day to the Lord? And then you wonder, don't you? Well, Do I have money to give in my piggy bank? The Lord has been so good to me. What will I give to the Lord? You see, the explanation for thanksgiving is all because of who God is. His goodness, His faithfulness, His kindness. In the words of Psalm 96, verse 8, that psalm that sings of the greatness of the Lord. And then it says in verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Thanksgiving is bound up with who God is and His name. Or in the words of Romans 12, verse 1, after Paul has in the first 11 chapters spoken of the mercies of God for hell-deserving sinners, he writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see the explanation? It lies in the mercy of God. Is that maybe how Adam and Eve taught their children? Is that how we teach our children, two parents? You give an explanation for Thanksgiving Day. Why do we have to go to church again today? We just went yesterday. It's a special day because the Lord has been so good and kind. We're going to give thanks to Him publicly. We're going to do it together. God is good. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? And the psalmist goes on to say, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. But now, what are the expenses? What are the expenses in thanksgiving? You see, true thanksgiving costs something. Cain and Abel are going to bring a sacrifice. Verse 3. And in process, that can also be translated as the Dutch Statte Bible has it and as the marginal notes in the Authorized Version has it. At the end of time, at the end of the season, maybe at the end of the harvest season, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought. Cain and Abel bring something. Cain brings some fruit of the harvest. He brings some grain. He brings some corn. He actually is not too concerned about what he brings. He doesn't say, oh, this stalk of corn was so tall. This one is for the Lord. And that stalk of corn is so healthy. And this corn looks so full. This is for the Lord. No. He takes whatever he gets into his hands. And even if it isn't the first fruit, and even though it's not the best, Cain finds it good enough for the Lord. But Abel does something different. He's very careful. Abel doesn't just take a lamb. Maybe one of the lambs of the flock, which he has noticed, is limping, and he says, ah, this one will be good enough for the Lord. After all, that lamb can't live that much longer anyways. And he won't be worth much. No, he takes the best of his lambs. He takes the biggest lamb, the firstborn, and he says, and this one is for the Lord. Just as later there will be the first fruits that would be brought to the Lord and the best that would be brought for the Lord. You see, is that not what sacrifice means? That you have to sacrifice. And that hurts, doesn't it? To sacrifice. Abel must have watched that lamb grow. And he took special care of that lamb. And he cared for it. And will I give this one to the Lord, my best lamb on which I had expended so much time and energy? Yes. It is for the Lord. Thanksgiving, you see, should cost something. It should be the best. And that not just one time of the year, but every day. But indeed, there are special times of the day, like Thanksgiving Day, when a sacrifice is made, an offering, and it should be the best. Like that
time that poor widow in Mark chapter 12 put her 2 mites into the treasury. It was all that she had, 2 mites. She had no savings, she had no investment, she had nothing in the bank that she could go and withdraw. And she could have said, God does not expect me to give what I need to survive on, does He? And it's not that much anyways, it's only 40 cents, it's only 50 cents maybe in today's worth. Does the temple really need that much? Don't I need it more? Repairs weren't needed on the temple, but she gave it anyways. Like the Macedonian churches. 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Though poor, they gave much. Or like that college student attending church in another place far from home, strapped for cash, but there she was in church. She sat listening to the preaching of the word with tears in her eyes. And the offering plate came by and she put in $5. And it was all she had for the rest of the month. She had nothing else. Nothing else to make it to the end of the month, but she put it all in. Or like that little girl who came to church and it wouldn't work in our collection bag, but they didn't have a collection bag, they had a collection plate, and she put her doll in. Her treasured little doll. The one that she took with her to bed at night and carried around the house under her arm, and she put that into the offering plate. And the deacons were touched, and the minister was touched, and the minister came to see her that week, and he brings the doll back with him and says, I'm giving it back to you. But the little girl shakes her head. And says, I didn't give it to you. I gave it to the Lord. See, is that how we give? Giving the best and giving cheerfully. For the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. You see, thanksgiving costs something. There are expenses. But now, there are also eyes in thanksgiving, our third point. There are eyes in thanksgiving. Cain has brought his offering and Abel has brought his offering too. And are both sacrifices pleasing to the Lord? No. Maybe we cannot tell the difference between Cain and Abel. They both have been taught by the same father and mother, Adam and Eve. They both went to church, we might say. They both gave of what the Lord had given them. They both expended energy in the building of an altar. They both put branches on top of the altar. They both put fire to the altar. But the Bible says in verse 4b and 5a this, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. You see, these two offerers come under the eyes of God. He had respect for Abel and his offering, but not for Cain and his offering. Why? Some say it was because of the offering. Abel slaughtered an animal, and because it was a bloody sacrifice. And as Scripture would say later on in Hebrews, for instance, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Abel reckoned with that, and Cain did not. And that's why Cain brought a bloodless sacrifice, an offering of grain. That's what some say. And I do not deny that the Bible indeed calls for the shedding of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and there is no hope. But I don't think that that's the point here. After all, the Lord would receive a meal offering too. Leviticus 2 will speak about the meal offering. And the Israelites were to bring the first fruits of the corn and grain to the Lord too. And that is no small thing, isn't it, when we give up our daily bread to the Lord and the first fruits to the Lord. And we confess thereby that all our provisions come from Him and they are to be for Him. But the separation is not in the offering. The separation comes not in what they offered, but how they offered. The Lord looks first at the offerer, our text says. And then at the offering. Cain and Abel, I said, come under his eyes. That's the picture that's being painted for us by the word that is translated in our authorized version as respect. He speaks about his eyes. He has regard for the one and not regard for the other. You see, when we come to church, God looks at how we come. And from the story of the widow with her two mites, it's clear that he knows how much we give and how we give. And that's what one minister in the 18th century did during the time that the collection was being taken. He came down off the pulpit and he walked up and down the aisles, following the deacons around and looking into the offering plate and observing what people put into the plate. And some people were embarrassed and some people were annoyed. But when he got on the pulpit, and he said, "You're upset with me, but remember that Jesus goes up and down the aisle and he sees every cent you give, and he sees your heart too. He sees everything. And he sees the motive. And what does he see when he looks into your heart? What he sees when he looks into Abel's heart is, let me say it in three words. He sees faith, first of all. He sees faith. That's what Hebrews 11 says. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Faith is needed. True faith. Spirit worked faith. And that was there in Abel's heart. How did it come there? What did the Spirit use to produce this faith in his heart? He used the words of his father and mother. Faith cometh by hearing. And what did he hear about? God. And guilt. And grace. The Savior that would come, who would come as his father and mother must have spoken about that first sacrifice, that animal that gave its life in order to give them a covering of righteousness. He looked by faith to the promised Savior, the Lamb of God, who would come not only as a lamb, but who would also come as the grain. Jesus speaks about that in John 12, the corn of wheat that falls into the ground, who had to die in order that there might be life, who is the bread of life and who would nourish his people. And Abel has been brought to look with eyes of faith to him and to close and to lay hold of him by faith. There is faith. Secondly, there is love. There is love. Galatians 5 or 6 speaks about that faith that worketh by love. And after all, love is an echo, as the Puritans said. It returns what it receives. And is that not what the Lord Jesus would do? He who was rich became poor and gave everything so that his people might live. And Abel says what others have said throughout the ages, like the woman who poured all that ointment over Jesus in preparation for his burial. She was saying in her heart and in her mind, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And therefore the best of the flock for Abel was not too much for the Lord. There is faith, firstly. There is love, secondly. And thirdly, there's thankfulness. Abel has a thankful heart. God sees into Abel's heart and he sees his own work there that has made Abel small. Abel sees that he does not deserve these things. He has not deserved the goodness and kindness of the Lord, and there is this deep humility before him. Does the Lord see that in you? On this Thanksgiving Day, does he find what he finds in Abel? Faith. Love. Thankfulness. Humbled before him. What does he find in Cain? There is no heart of faith in Cain. no faith. And Romans 14, verse 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And there was no love. You'd see it later in the enmity against his brother that he was willing and desirous to kill him. But was Cain not thankful? Oh, I think he was thankful for the harvest, but not for the God of the harvest. He's never become small before the Lord, you see. He's never been humble before the Lord. So there's no true thanksgiving. How come? The Bible always explains it best. 1 John 3, verse 12 explains Cain. His works were evil. A short commentary. But you don't need a long commentary, do you? Cain's works were evil. Cain wanted a life without God. He loved his sin. He loved the world. He would see to it that a city would be built. And that's where he took his pride in. It's true, he built an altar here. But it was only out of custom. Maybe it was only to please his parents. But his heart was not set on God. And then you see there are sacrifices that are not pleasing to the Lord. Cain's sacrifice is not pleasing to the Lord. And there are times, isn't it, when the Lord says, this is not acceptable to me. Stop with it. Isaiah 1, for instance. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Bring no more vain oblations. They are a trouble unto me. Or in the words of Proverbs 21, verse 27, that apply to Cain, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? See, we should be afraid of something. Drawing near to the Lord with our lips. But our hearts are far from him. Outward exercises of worship is not what we need. Outward exercises of worship. That's no guarantee of a heart that's devoted to God. But that's how Cain brings his offering. An outward form, but a wicked mind. And he doesn't seek for grace. And he doesn't seek for mercy to break with his evil heart and to break with his evil works. He doesn't seek for that broken spirit and contrite heart, as David would speak about in Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's offering rejected. And he became angry. And how would that Thanksgiving Day end? That's our third point. It wouldn't end. Our fourth point. It wouldn't end well. Indeed, Abel's offering was accepted. And Hebrews 11, verse 4 says that by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He obtained witness. He was righteous. How did he receive this witness? It's not told us. But it became clear to Abel, just as it became clear years later to that publican in the temple. The words of yesterday afternoon, the Spirit bore witness with his spirit. And did that maybe show itself by the tears that ran down Abel's face, tears of joy? And Cain saw those tears of joy. And he didn't share in that same joy. And Cain became angry. Verse 5, and Cain was very wroth. Literally, there was a burning in his heart. But God in his goodness came to him. And God in his goodness warned him. God could have struck him down dead That very moment he brought his offering and it wasn't accepted, but God didn't do that. He gave him opportunity to repent, but Cain was defiant and there was no repentance. And taking Abel aside, he slew Abel. And when God calls him and says, "Where is your brother?" He says, "Not my fault. He's not my responsibility. Am I my brother's keeper?" And that's how there came injury to the church. And Cain shows that he belongs to the devil. And that the works of the devil he does. That's what Ishmael would do in persecuting Isaac. That's how the seed of the serpent persecutes the seed of the woman. Pharaoh persecuting the children of Israel. King Saul persecuting David. Herod wanting to kill the child Jesus. That may be how it is for you. Who are you a brother to? I mean, a spiritual brother to. To Cain? Or to Abel? The carnal mind at enmity against God, is that how it is for you? And on this day in which we think and dwell on the goodness of the Lord, is that not reason to let His goodness, in the words of Romans, lead you to repentance? And not to heed the call to sin, to anger and bitterness, and to hatred, after all, that does not give peace. That does not give happiness. And why would you not flee to the Lord Jesus with that bitterness and hatred and angry heart and all your sin? For there is a city of refuge for the manslayer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's one thing about the end of this Thanksgiving Day, is there came injury. Secondly, there came apostasy. Came apostasy. Cain left the church. He put it like that. With all its privileges. And instead he comes under the curse. The blood of Abel is calling for vengeance. And is calling for justice. And Cain, he doesn't think that it's just and fair. He can only complain. My punishment is too great. And that's what the ungodly still do. They complain. But God and of His justice. And if God is good, then why does... And that's how this church member Cain departed. It should make us afraid. In the words of Hebrews 3 verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Apostasy. Lord Jesus warned that this would happen. Matthew 24, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold." It's reason to be afraid of persisting in sin, my dear unconverted friend. It's reason to humble yourself before God now and today. On the last day, how sad it would be to show that you are a brother to Cain. And that you are standing with Cain. When the blood of Jesus Christ does not cry for vengeance. When today it still cries for pardon and for peace to the fugitive that is restless and tormented. That accusing conscience, there is rest to be found. But only in Jesus. And boys and girls, but if you find that sin of anger in you, and you get angry today with your brother because he took something from you, what if you find you have a bad heart, boys and girls? You know where we must go on Thanksgiving Day? To the cross of Jesus. That's where you may go with your sinful heart, boys and girls. Cain didn't want to give the Lord his heart. But the Lord wants your heart. And if you say, "Boys and girls, but my heart is wicked and my heart is sinful." The Lord says, "I know that. I want that sinful heart because I won't leave it the way that it is. I'll take it. I know what to do with your heart. I have blood to cleanse it and to sanctify that heart. And I want to teach you true thanksgiving in your heart so that your Cain heart can be changed into an Abel heart. There's nothing too hard or too wonderful for the Lord to do. He did it with Abel. In his short life that was soon cut off and he flew away. But in that breath of a life, he came to breathe after God. Yes, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Harden not your heart. Because your days can soon be all over. One day in church, and the next day gone. That's how it was for Cain. One day in church, and the next day he never came back. And his father and his mother lost two children in one day. One continued to live, that's true. But what a pain that must have been for his parents that their son was the seed of the serpent. And the worst is if you don't take refuge with your wicked heart to the Lord Jesus. That blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, there is mercy in His blood. And if there is no taking refuge to His blood, then vengeance cries out. I know that by nature the unconverted man doesn't want to change. Why not tell that to the Lord? I remember asking some boys and girls one time, who are you like, Cain or Abel? And the children said, Pastor, we have a Cain heart. I'm always glad when children are honest. But then those children can also be told to go to the Lord Jesus. He can make it an Abel heart. In your short life, boys and girls. And make it so different that you come to love the Lord and fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and want nothing more than to be done with sin. Those who shelter in the Lord Jesus are happy. I do not mean that you have a life of ease then. There was pain and there was difficulty. Abel would know it that very day. But those who take refuge in Jesus, the day will come when you can be in heaven with Abel. And with the great son of Seth, Jesus. Yes, Thanksgiving Day ended with injury, with apostasy, and with glory. Abel was the first one of the lost human race that was saved and redeemed and taken to glory. A place was been prepared for him. And the day had come that he was taken there to glorify God for his electing love, the Son for his redeeming love, the Spirit for his sanctifying love. What a song that must have been, don't you think? Just one soul. Redeemed soul praising God in heaven. Aren't you jealous he could be there? Thanksgiving Day ended in thanksgiving, don't you think? Don't you long to stand with Him one day? Through the greater than Abel, whose blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. But Abel, the only redeemed soul in heaven, is singing. Do you think it was quiet in heaven? Don't you think the angels sang it too? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing, all-knowing, all-seeing Lord, Thou knowest how we come to Thy house and by nature have this Cain heart. Without faith and love and true gratitude, but hast Thou not come into the world to redeem sinners? Through the life and death of the Lord Jesus, that life of obedience and thankfulness, and is risen in order to apply the redemption accomplished. The Lamb of God. O Lord, grant us to be taken up with Him and to see something of it in our souls, of that love amazing and divine. And wilt Thou produce what Thou didst produce in Abel, and not just for one day, but forever. What joy belongs to Thy people, whose ways are often fraught with fear and trouble. Yet Thou dost hold them by their right hand, guide them with Thy counsel, and afterward receive them to glory. Lord, grant that that may be the portion of many, could it be all. By Thy power and grace, forgive our sins in preaching and in listening. Be with us further this day, also when we gather together with family perhaps and friends, that our eyes may be yet fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, is now at the right hand of the Father. Hear us for His sake. We ask it. Amen.